me, if you would, John 10:10. This is our ministry verse in the Amplified. Amplified Classic. Classic. John 10:10. This is our ministry verse. For the thief. Who's the thief?
The devil.
How many of you don't know who the thief is? The thief comes what? What's the next word? No. The thief comes what?
Only.
That's the only reason he's come. In order to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they may have life, have and enjoy life, and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and to destroy. And he's come only that we may have and enjoy life to the full till it overflows.
Thank you, Lord.
So if there's something stealing or killing, leave it up there just a minute. I'm not that pretty, but that's pretty. That verse is pretty. Yeah. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, or destroy. How many of you will be honest and say, you have something in your life right now that's stealing, killing, or destroying? The devil's out there.
Yep.
That's what his job is, to steal, kill, or destroy. How many of those very same people can say you've also got something in your life that you enjoy? Yeah, he's come that we could have things that we enjoy, life to the full. So we're going to talk about some of that stuff. Okay, Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified Classic. For we are God's own handiwork. We're his own handiwork, workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus. So we're made to look like and be like Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the what?
Good life.
Good life, which he prearranged and made ready for who to live?
Us.
Who's a us?
Me.
Who's a usins?
Believers.
Usins, ones that's been recreated, born anew.
Yes.
If you've been recreated and born anew, you an usins.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
And you can live the good life which he prearranged and made ready for you to live. Right? Well, last week, Keith talked about everybody that loved the Lord would keep his commands. It also says in the Old Testament, if you be willing and obedient,
right, you'll eat of the good of the land.
So, I have a question. Why is everybody not just eating the good of the land? Okay, some people might be what we were talking about a few weeks ago, 50% in, 50% out, you know. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but I want to help us understand some things today. Because I like us to be very victorious. You know, I taught a sermon a few years ago, I look back and it was a few years, called The Good News. And everybody likes the good news. But we as Christians should almost be a billboard for the good news. When people see us, they should see a billboard that shows just totally good news. They should see David. We should be able to have his picture up there and it should say good news. When they see him, everything about his life should signify the good news of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
That's all it should be. There shouldn't be anything negative. It should only be good news.
Yeah.
So what happens? Why is that not that way? What was that first verse? Because the thief comes only only to do what?
Steal, kill, and destroy.
Because there is a devil in this world, and he comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And there's something that I've noticed a lot of lately, and I want you to think for just a minute with me. I want you to think about how many things in this world that you see on a daily basis that are fake. Just think. Fake. Can you name in your mind three things? Can you name four things? Can you name 10 things? And the devil is trying to build that list all the time of fake.
Right.
And the more TV he can get us to watch, the more lies he can get us to believe. I'm going to just be flat out rude. The more women you can look at a lot of days, fake. He's trying to make us look more fake and more fake and more fake. The more marriages, fake. Just a lot of fake, 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 fake. More homes, finances. You look at them and they look real, but they are charged to the hilt. Fake, 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 fake. It's not real because we got charge cards, so it makes us look real, but it's really
fake.
It's not real. And that's what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to live in a fake world. So we don't believe anything real. We only believe fake. We're waking up every day and we're believing fake. Half of our food is what?
Fake.
You can't hardly go through a day and eat anything real anymore. And so many preservatives and so much.
Fake.
Just leave here today and go through the rest of the day and look at everything that's fake. I encourage you, just start beginning to see everything you do, everything you see, everything you touch that's fake. And start trying to push it out of your life a little bit. And start trying to find some real.
Amen. Amen. Good.
Some real in your life.
Right.
And you'll find out the more real you find, the more God you find.
All right. Yes.
The more God you find. Now the thief, he comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now the title of my message today, now hold on to your chairs and don't panic before I tell you what it is, okay? It's called Repent and Repeat.
Thank you.
Repent and Repeat. And I'm going to talk about myself for just a minute and then we'll go on. I know I grew up in a household of people that would tell a little fib now and then. That's the way I grew up. My mom would say, oh, just tell them we're not here. Oh, just tell them this happened and you couldn't get your homework done. Oh, just tell them this happened. Okay? And I grew up with an alcoholic dad. And I grew up with a family that fussed all the time. Just kind of happened. So when I got around Keith, lying was just a standard thing. And I tried to stop. I tried with everything in my being. And I'd wake up that day and I'd say, I am not going to lie today. But within 15 minutes, I'd lied for no reason. You understand what I'm saying? Just for absolutely no reason. I could have told the truth just as easy as the lie, but I had already lied before I realized it. So I'd repent again. And then I'd lie again. That's what I mean. Repent and repeat. Because when Keith said that last week about if you love the Lord, you'll keep His commands, I thought, well, I know everybody in this church loves the Lord or they wouldn't even be here. And there's people out there watching on the internet. They love the Lord. But they miss it. And they mess up. And I know I've missed it and I've messed up. But I love the Lord. And I'd repent. And I'd repeat. Do you hear how quiet it is in here?
That's good.
Because it's close to home. It's very close to home. But it took me, and we'll get into why. How many of you will be honest enough to say, I've done the very thing? Repented and repeated. Repented and repeated. Repented and repeated. All over the place. That's honest people. Repented and repeated. And why is that? Put that verse, John 10:10, back up there. Because there's a thief. And he comes only but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, I am about to show you some pictures. They're not going to be, don't show them yet, Devin. They're not going to be pictures that you're going to enjoy. Okay? Because I know how the devil is. Now, if you're trying to overcome something, I know the devil. And I know how he works. And all throughout the day, even while we're sitting right here and you're listening to a sermon, Keith said, when a thought comes, what do you do with it?
Slam
it down and step on it. But I want us to get more proactive about that. I'm very much a doer. Phyllis, do more. Because I know with my own flesh, that's how I have to be. I can't just hear something one time and be finished with it. I know how my flesh is. And I know with that, it didn't just happen overnight. It took some doing. Now, my weight was another one. The only thing Keith really asked me before we got married was, Phil, if it works out, and he wasn't ugly about it, all of his family, every one of his aunts, every one of his aunts weighed 400 pounds. Every one of them. And that is no exaggeration. I would really prefer you wouldn't get as big as my aunts. That's all he ever asked me. It was really nice the way he asked it, too. You know, he was nice about it.
Right.
He didn't ask for a lot. There was things I preferred he didn't do. Mm. You in marriage, are the things you prefer your spouse don't do?
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But I tell you what, I think it was one of the hardest things that the devil put in front of me that he constantly dealt with me about was my weight. I mean, it was a battle. And he was constantly doing things. So, before we do it, I want you, if you can't deal with certain things, I want you to close your eyes as the pictures come by. Just go, you watching on the internet, If you can't deal with certain things, close your eyes. Now, everybody deals with certain with things differently. The devil knows what your weakness is. You may have never in your life had a problem with lying. You may have never in your life had a problem with food. But you may have had a problem with affairs. You may have had a problem with drugs. You may have had a problem with gossip. You may have had a problem with who knows what. Alcohol, like my dad. Maybe I didn't call out your problem. But most every person, the devil knows your weakness. And don't kid yourself that he's not going to find out your weakness and do this 1,000 times a day. Don't kid yourself. This is who he is. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And this is the way that he does it. Devin, roll him. Uh-huh. Go ahead. Just keep going. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Keep going. Uh-huh. Keep going. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Keep going. Close your eyes if you can't take it. Uh-huh. Keep going. Uh-huh. 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 Yeah. Close your eyes. Uh-huh. 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 Oh, yeah. Uh-oh is right. Uh-huh. 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 See, the church has kind of got quieter on these, but... Uh-huh. 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 Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. Thieves. I didn't bring up that one. Thievery, thievery. Yeah, yeah. Shh, don't tell anybody. Stealing from work, pens and pencils and the petty cash, and I'm going to put it back. And don't tell anybody what's going on, who I'm talking to here while I'm laying in bed with my husband. Drugs, prescription drugs, drugs. Yeah, telling a lie as you're crossing your fingers behind your back. Gossiping. Look at her eyes. Gossiping. Now, here's the thing. If you have a problem with one of those areas, what does the devil do to you all day long? From the time you get up in the morning, if you have a problem with eating, what does he do to you? I know. Huh? Starch. What am I going to eat today? What am I going to eat for breakfast? What am I going to eat for lunch? What am I going to eat for snack? What am I going to eat for dinner? My dad, if you're an alcoholic, where can I hide my liquor? Oh, he hid it everywhere. If you're a druggie, where can I get money for drugs? I've lived with druggies. I know druggies. Where can I get money for drugs? Where can I steal money? Where can I hide my drugs? Amen. What lie can I tell to get drugs? If you're a gossiper, you may think, oh, that's not that big a deal. It goes right along with murder in the same scripture verse. And the devil's got you on Facebook, got you on everything that there is, trying to talk about somebody all the time. The thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. And these things are on your mind constantly throughout the day. You can't wait to get to whatever it is, and these thoughts are bombarding your mind. How can I talk to that girl I'm having an affair with? How can I talk to that guy? Sneak, 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 fake, sneak, fake, sneak, right. Fake, sneak. sneak, sneak, sneaks. And it's a constant sneaking. And the devil wants to destroy you. He wants to keep you down. See how quiet it is? That's his number one ploy, is to keep you under him with these things. How do you get past them? How do you overcome them? What tools did the Lord give us? Turn with me, if you would, to Romans. Does the Lord care enough about us?
Yes.
Did he give us anything to help us overcome this stuff? Does he care and does he know what we're going through?
Yes.
Romans, King James, verse 14. I may modify this some as I'm reading it to make you understand it a little bit. I could have read it in the Message Bible. I will read part of it to you in the Message in just a minute. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am what? Romans 7:14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am what? Flesh, carnal. We don't want to admit it, but what percentage are we? See how quiet you are? Say that word with me. If you're dealing with any of this stuff, that part of you is still what?
Carnal.
Carnal. For we know the law is spiritual, but I'm still partly
carnal.
I'll say it for you. Partly carnal. Okay? Sold under sin. Nobody wants to say it. Okay? For that which I do allow not, for what I would, that do I not. In other words, but what I hate, that I do. In other words, what I don't want to do, I end up doing. Okay? For then I do which I would not. I consent under the law to that which is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but what?
Sin.
Sin that lives in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present in me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Now if I do that I would not, that is no more that I would do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight to do the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing into captivity the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this death? Read the next verse.
I thank God through Jesus Christ.
Okay, let me tell you what that said. Let me put it down in Phyllis words. Okay? Everything I want to do, just like the lying I was talking about, I wanted to do right. But before I realized it, I had lied again, and I hated myself again. I wasn't strong enough to do what I knew was right. Before I realized it, I had gone and done the thing I hated. That's what that's talking about. But who could save me from my own flesh? Jesus could save me. There's nothing that can save us except that name of Jesus. That name that it everything, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess, Jesus is Lord. I don't care if it's drugs, I don't care if it's alcohol, I don't care if it's lying, I don't care if it's food, I don't care if it's gossip, I don't care if it's sex, I don't care if it's what it is, there is nothing stronger than the name of Jesus. Say it with me, say, Jesus,
Jesus
is stronger,
than anything I can deal with.
Anything you can deal with.
That's right.
Jesus is stronger. There you go. Jesus is stronger than anything you can deal with. Lying, any sin you can deal with, anything you can deal with. When we get saved, we are still flesh. And if we don't, it took me years. And I've told you this before, I remember it vividly. I went up in a healing line with Brother Hagin one time for healing of something. I don't remember what it was. I wish I could remember, but I don't remember what it was. It may have even been when he was praying for ministers. I don't remember what it was. The Lord can remind me, but I, for the life of me, I don't remember what it was. I do think Keith was standing next to me when I think about it, but I don't know that for sure, so I don't want to say. I don't want to lie. So, Brother Hagin prayed for me, and I remember it vividly. Like it was yesterday. Remember this part vividly. I remember when he laid hands on me. I wasn't thinking about lying. But I remember that my tongue began to burn like it was on fire. I mean, it was on fire. And I could barely eat. I could barely talk for 2 weeks. Now, Brother Hagin didn't know it. I told him about it later. But I hadn't really lied since that day. I've gone to tell a lie and not even realizing it. Something inside me would just go check, 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 like a red light. Check, check, check. People have said, "You lied about that." I'm like, "Oh, no, I didn't lie." Because I know in my heart when I've gone to lie, there's been like these red flags that have gone like this about lying. What's those pictures popping up there? That's the way our mind does. They're constantly doing that. What do we have to do every time a picture pops up like that? Not only just slam it down, what do you got to say? Now, repent means something that most people don't realize. Let me read you something. In the Bible, repent means reversal of one's attitude, of one's values, and turning towards God. It doesn't mean you just stop something. Repent does not mean that you just stop lying. Repent doesn't mean you just stop having drugs. Repent doesn't mean you just stop gossiping. It doesn't mean you just stop trying to eat by yourself. You are not mentally and physically strong enough to do this by yourself. That's right. If you were, the whole world could do it.
That's right. Amen.
What makes us different than the world?
Jesus.
Who makes us stronger than the world?
Jesus.
Repent means to change your mind, turning away from sin and turning wholeheartedly towards God, often accompanied by a new understanding of God and a new behavior. That means that, let me read you another scripture first, and I think you'll get it. Let's see, I've got it right here. Put up for me Matthew 12:43 in the King James Bible. You know, when Brother Hagin tells the story about his son-in-law, Buddy Harrison, you can leave that verse up there. Buddy Harrison had a problem with some things. I won't get into what, because I don't remember how much he told. But he said he didn't have a spirit living inside of him. He had a spirit that was harassing him. He had a spirit. I've got a little dog, a little white dog, and I don't care if I get up from the sofa and walk across the room, that little dog is going to get up and walk across the room with me. I don't care if I go in the kitchen. I don't care if I go to the bathroom. He is going to come and sit in the bathroom door and wait for me to come out. If I get in the shower, he's going to sit in the shower door and wait for me to come out of the shower. He's going to be with me wherever I go. That's how a harassing spirit is. A harassing spirit will follow a person everywhere they go. It will harass them. There have been people that have been harassed about food. They have done everything under the sun. That spirit may have come from their parents. It may have come down from generations. There could be harassing spirits about affairs. There could be harassing spirits about sexual things. There could be harassing spirits about drugs. There could be harassing spirits about suicide. There could be harassing spirits about all the things that we're showing pictures of, gossip. Spirits are real. They're just as real as my little puppy, I should have brought him, following me. Jordan, is this true? He follows me everywhere I go. Now, the little black one, she wants to be with us, but she will stay where she is most of the time. But he'll follow me. Now, these spirits know you. They know you very, very well. They could be called familiar spirits. And they pretty much know everything about you. And they will harass you. And they will say, eat this, Carrie. Carrie, eat this. Carrie, you know what you would like to have right now? Have Rob go get it. Carrie, eat this. Carrie, think about this. Think about how good this would taste. Think about it. And then you eat it and you're like, ugh. I wish I wouldn't have eaten that. It didn't even taste as good as I thought it would. You ever been there? Everybody in the room. Didn't taste as good. It's rare that something tastes as good as you thought it would. Okay? It's rare that drugs taste as good. A lot of times they say about drugs, anybody ever done drugs and got addicted to them? They say they chase the first high that they ever got on. And they're constantly chasing that first high. And it's never as good again as that first time. The same with alcohol. They're constantly chasing the first time they got drunk. That's the way the harassing spirits are. They want you to do things constantly. And most people don't understand, if you've never been there, harassed by a spirit that's constantly pushing you to do something, you should never judge anybody. Amen. You should never judge anybody that's overweight. You should never judge anybody that's done anything. Because you don't know how harassed they are. Amen. That doesn't mean they have to do it. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. These spirits are in the world. Once you're saved, you got the greater one living inside of you. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But you do need to deal with it. Now sometimes, like this morning, my little puppy came to the door because he wanted to go with me. He loves to go with me wherever I go. And I had to say, no, Bubby, you can't go. I said, go back in there. Now, he listens real well, but sometimes he acts like he's hard of hearing. And I know he's not. And especially if he wants something good to eat. Keith laughed at me. It was his birthday the other day, and I did something I never do. I usually just stick with their food real closely. And Jordan had gotten me some ribs, and I didn't tell her why I wanted them. But she got me some ribs, and I gave him a rib bone. And I'm telling you what, he went to town on that rib bone. Well, it was his birthday. He should have something. He's 13 years old. He should have something special, you know. And he acts like he's three, but, you know. And I tried to take that bone away from him because I didn't want him getting a splinter in the bone because he's just a little, you know, they're just little dogs. And so I tried to take it away from him. And the little girl tried to take it away from him. And so I hollered at her and I told her to stop, and she wasn't having it. She was going to have that bone, you know. And I said, Casey, stop it. And she didn't stop. So I had to say, Casey, you stop that. Like that. And I never yell at them, you know. But I had to get her attention. That's the way you have to do to these spirits sometimes. They're hard of hearing, I think. Sometimes when you slam it and you say, in the name of Jesus, leave me alone, like that, they don't really think that you mean it. They think that you really want to think about that food. And you really want to think about those drugs. And you don't really want them to go away. You really like those feelings inside of you.
There you go.
Thank you, Lord.
In order for, I don't care if it's spirits of lesbianism, in spirits of guys being gay, in spirits of drunkenness, in spirits of orgies, the whole scripture, what all does it say?
Right.
Any of those things, in order for them to go away, you have to mean business.
Yeah. That's right.
You can't play with the devil.
No.
He don't play fair. You have to mean business. Somebody come up here and show me what meaning business with the devil means.
Really?
Really. I'm waiting. Thank you.
Go in Jesus' name. I resist you and I refuse to think on that. I think on those things that are good, lovely, pure, peaceable, kind, all what the scripture says about.
Exactly. That's good, but that's pretty meek. All right, somebody else.
Get out, in Jesus' name.
That's pretty meek, too. Somebody show me some business around here. Somebody get mad. I mean, fire.
Sick and tired of you, devil. You have no right to touch me. You have no right to be in my life. I command you now in the name of Jesus.
That's a start. That's a start. That's a start. That's a start. Come on.
In Jesus' name, I command you, come out of me.
There you go.
Come out of my home. Come out of my life.
That's it.
In the name of Jesus, I command you to leave me.
That's a good, good. Yes, we're getting better. We're getting hotter. We're getting hotter. We're getting hotter. Come on.
This is only English.
Okay, that's okay. In your language. Okay. I don't care.
In the name of Jesus Christ, get out of my life.
You got to mean it more than that.
My life.
It ain't the words you
get
say. It's the heart.
Right now.
Yeah, it's
Thank
the heart. Come on. Come on.
You.
It's your heart. Come on. Get your heart in it. Get your heart in it. Get your heart in it. Come on.
This is something my mother taught me when I was young.
Okay.
I didn't realize how much authority it was until I felt it.
Okay. Come on.
Ooh, she said, get in the shower. You let the water rain on you.
Uh-huh.
She said, and you, from your inner being, you say, Satan, there is no room for you here. I am a child of God. You must leave now in the name of Jesus.
That's it.
Woo!
That's it. But I don't see anybody stomping their feet and yelling to where they're hoarse and breaking their vocal cords, meaning it at the devil. Sometimes you gotta really, really, really mean it. I mean it with every fiber of your being. Because you know why? He means to, John 10:10. He means, put up John 10:10. Take down the strawberry shortcake. Because we're killing it.
Yeah.
What does he do?
Steal.
We don't have one man in here that can kick the devil out of his life? Are all the women in here running everything? Come on, Jerry.
Satan, I bind you and I rend you silent, helpless, ineffective, and unable to operate today and forevermore in my life. Get your hands off my stuff. You get out of my Garden of Eden.
There you go. There you go. There you go. Go ahead.
In the name of Jesus, I told you, you have no authority here, and you got to get out of here. You're under my feet. You're staying under my feet because I have the authority of Jesus Christ.
Y'all are too focused on the words. You're too focused on the words instead of running the devil out of here. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
You're too focused on exacting words to get the devil out of here. You only you need for the devil is go! Get out of here! Go! Get out of my life! Go! 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 That's the only word you need for the devil!
All right.
Is go!
Amen.
And you know how we kick the devil out of our lives? Start kicking him and stomping him! Come on, Daniel! Tell him!
I will not think on this. You leave me!
There you go!
I resist you in Jesus' name. You are defeated, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now get out of here!
There you go. Thank you, Daniel. Go ahead.
I said no.
There you go. How many times a day do we have to do that?
All right.
How many times a day do these pictures come up in our hearts? Huh? How many times a day do you think about food? How many times a day do you think about gossiping? How many times a day do you think about lying? How many times a day do you think about stealing? How many times a day do you think about anything that's opposite to what the Word says? True, lovely, pure, of good report. Anything that doesn't fall in those categories, we are to... We are to get rid of that spirit that is harassing us. And if you do that enough, then he'll go. But let's read that verse that was up there on the screen. Matthew 12:43, King James. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. The next verse. Then he says, listen to this carefully. I will return unto my house from where I came from. And when he has come, he finds it what? Read that with me. He finds you or his house, empty, swept, and clean. Perfectly clean. Read the next verse. So he goes, and he takes with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself to dwell there. And the last state of the man was worse than the first. So what does that mean? What does that mean? You gotta fill it up with something else.
Yes.
What are you gonna fill it up with? That Bible right there. This Bible right here. You gotta fill it with the Word. There's not an inch in me that would feel comfortable with telling a lie. Why? Not because I spend every single minute of the day reading the scripture and reading my Bible, but because I spend every single minute of the day putting Him first.
Right.
I don't do anything. That's a strong word. Anything that I feel like grates against my heart. Anything. Now, I know people don't understand me sometimes. Because when it comes to stuff, the first thing that crosses my mind when people ask us stuff, I remember when we first started the church. Some people came to us. And they came to Keith first off, and they said, "Can we do this?" And he said, he checked his heart, and he said, "No, the Lord told us this." They said, "Well, can we do this?" And he said, "No, the Lord told us this." So they said, "Well, surely we can do this." And he said, "No, the Lord told us this." So we lost every bit of our choir, every bit of our band, and Keith had to play at the piano and sing.
That's good. That's
good. We've lost staff. We've lost friends. Is that what we're trying to do?
No.
We've had family get mad at us. But we made a choice. If we don't know it's what the Lord wants us to do, and we don't have word to back it up, they have to back up. Now, I'm not telling you you have to sit there and read the Bible all day, but you have to know what it says for every situation. Just a few weeks ago, that gentleman that we were talking about, people don't understand why we say you have to go to church. You need to go to church. People online, you need to be in church. Why? Because when the devil attacks you, you got something in you to push him back. You got the scripture, you got the anointing, you got the word. Amen. You don't have anything in you to resist this devil with unless you got something in you that makes you strong enough to be able to resist him. Do you know that you start screaming at the devil like what we were doing? And you have no word in you, and you've been serving him as much as you've been serving God, he's going to laugh in your face.
Right. That's it. Yep.
He's going to say, "Who are you? God I know, and Paul I know." Let me tell you how I know that. I was working for a doctor. You remember the story? How many of you remember the story, and I won't tell it?
Tell it.
You want to embarrass me, huh? Okay. That's okay. I'll be embarrassed for the Lord. I was working at a doctor's office. We had just got in the Word, just barely moved to Broken Arrow. Keith was getting fed the Word every day. And I had it in my mind I was getting as spiritual as he was, because he was getting the Word every day. So I was getting as spiritual as he was. Why not? He was in Bible school. Why wasn't I getting as spiritual as he was? He was going to healing school every day and prayer school, and he'd come home and talk to me about it. He'd study every night. I'd work all day and all night half the time. Why wasn't I as spiritual as he was? We were in Bible school. Not.
Simulation.
Osmosis.
Osmosis. That's what it
is. Don't work that way. Don't work that way. Just because he's sitting there studying his Bible, don't mean I'm getting it. So this woman came in. She had to be 75, 80 years old. Walking with a cane, got off a bus. I felt sorry for her. I didn't know the things of God like I do now. This is how we learned them. That's how we can tell you things, because we learned them the hard way. A lot of things. She came into the office, and the doctor, bless his heart, he was a very kind man and very kind to me. And I said, this woman says she's hurt her back, and she did, this happened, and somebody threw her off the bus, or da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and I believed her. And, you know, because when you lie a lot, you believe people that lie. How can you tell the difference if you're a liar? I was still lying probably at the time. I don't remember but it wasn't long after we got there. And so this woman told me this. And so I begged the doctor. He said, I don't trust her. I don't trust what she's telling you. There's something wrong with her. I wouldn't do it. I think you need to tell her to go. His words. And I said, I think she'll be okay. I'll take the x-ray myself. And then, you know, if you just will work on her one time, I think she'll go and everything will be okay. I don't think we should do it, was his last words to me. But he said, if you want to do it, okay. That's how kind he was.
Right.
He overrode what he knew in his heart to be kind to me. That's how kind he was. So I did it. I went in. I took the x-ray. He told her what was wrong with her. Of course, she had all kind of things wrong with her. He worked on her. She came back in the next day. She said she didn't want to see the doctor. She wanted her color x-ray. Now, how many of you have ever seen an x-ray? What color is it?
Black and white.
Black and white. She wanted her color x-ray. She started pounding on that counter with her cane, demanding her color x-ray. Of course, she came when the office was full of people. We probably had 50 people in there at the time, and we were a buzzing practice. And it was just people everywhere. And I was doing everything I could to get her out of there, you know. And so I took her, I said, can you just step over here for just a minute? And so I took her right outside the side door. Big mistake. By myself. Well, Keith had told me the story about casting out spirits. He told me the story. Why couldn't I do it? Right? I'd heard the story about it. Now, you've heard lots of stories in here. Can you do them? He told me the story, and we'd been there 6 weeks. Now, you're laughing at me.
With you.
With me. So I went out the door, and this woman was basically beating me like she was 22 with this cane. Because she had a spirit.
Right. That's it.
And she beat me, and I started casting out the devil. And it did no good.
Oh, no.
And he got stronger, I think.
Yeah.
Till finally one of the guys came out there and put her on her way. And so I asked Keith about it. He showed me the story about the seven sons of Sceva.
Right, yeah.
God I know, and Paul I know, but yeah. Who are you?
Wasn't funny.
And it wasn't funny.
It wasn't.
But But now I know how to cast out the devil.
All right.
Because I don't play with the devil anymore.
That's right.
That's right.
That's it.
Amen.
I don't play on his turf anymore. I don't go to his neighborhood anymore.
Right.
I stay on God's side all the time.
Amen.
So if you want to win against the devil, you can't be a 50-50. You can't be a 60-40. Do you understand?
All in.
You got to be all in. Because the thief doesn't show you the end result. The thief is out to, put it back up there. What's the last word? Steal, kill, and
destroy.
He starts out stealing. Then he does his best to
kill
and destroy. But he doesn't show you those pictures along the way. All he does is show you the good along the way. But God is come, keep it up there, that you may enjoy life and have it to the full. He wants you to have the very best of everything you can even hope or dream of. He's predestined paths for us to take, so that we can have the very best of everything in life. How many of you have read where it says choose life?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
So why do so many choose death? Because of the pressure. Because of the pressure. Nobody knows the pressure that the devil can put on people.
That's true.
Nobody knows the temptations he can put in front of them, like all those pictures that we were showing. When he plays that over and over and over and over in their hearts and in their minds all day and all night, and that's all they think about. The only way that you can change that is to change the channel. And put it on the God channel.
Amen.
In the beginning, you'll have to spend a lot more time with God.
Yes.
You'll have to spend a lot more time listening to God's songs, listening to God's TVs and words and sermons.
Right.
As time goes, it won't bother you as much. You won't have to cast him down as much, because you'll begin to be washed by the water of the Word. You'll begin to be cleaned, and your house will begin to fill up with the things of God. But in the beginning, your house is 60% full of the things that the devil has filled you with. And that spirit is pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and saying, do this. And you don't even know it's him that you're listening to. You think it's something you like. You've decided, I like this. But what you don't realize is that's how much of him you have in you. The more of the other you have in you, the more you will decide, man, how could I have been even thinking that way? But you start filling up your cup more and more and more with him, and you'll think, oh my word, I was thinking wrong. My heart was seeing this wrong. And God loves you so much that he'd put you in things like this, that he'd say, okay, come on, come on. And you come to places and you think, I did it by myself. And he's like Keith said, I put you in that service. I put you around these people. I spared you.
I
over and over again. And I know he did me. Over and over again. He put you around people that loved you. He put you around people that cared about you. He put you around people that prayed for you when you didn't even know they were praying for you.
That's right. Thank you.
And all God wants to do for you, absolutely all he wants to do for you, is give you good.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
good. He's standing there holding out the good. Okay, come and get it. Come and get it. So why would you choose the destroyer over the good? Because it feels good right now.
Right.
Yeah. Right now. And you know why it feels good right now? Because you have more flesh than you do God. Because the flesh likes the here and now. The here and now. So what I want us to do, that's why I saved them for here and now. For the here and now. I want to read this to you. And then we're going to do something. Proverbs 5 in the Amplified. Everybody knows it, but I want to read it anyway and remind you of it now in light of this stuff. My son, my daughter, be attentive to my wisdom, godly wisdom learned by actual costly experience, and incline your ear to my understanding for what is becoming and prudent for you, that you may exercise proper discrimination and discretion to guard your lips and may guard and keep your knowledge and the wise answer to temptation. It can guard you against temptation. For the lips of a loose woman drip honey. Now, the loose woman can be drugs and alcohol, food, everything. So apply that to whatever area of your life. Drip honey as honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she's bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged devouring sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold of Sheol, Hades, the place of the dead. She loses sight and walks not in the path of her life. Her ways wind up aimlessly, and you cannot know them. Now, therefore, my sons, daughters, listen to me, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Let your way in life be far from her, and come not near the door of her house. Avoid the very scenes of temptation. Now let's stop right there just a minute. I showed you pictures of food. I showed you pictures of drugs. I showed you pictures of adultery. I showed you pictures of stealing. I showed you pictures of what?
Gossip.
Of lying.
Right.
Cheating. If you have a problem with eating too much, find somebody else to go to the grocery store for you. If you have problems with eating too much, I know the girls don't know why I do this, but a lot of times I'll say, Jordan, would you fix me a plate? I'll stay out of my pantry. If you open my freezer right now, I have enough ice cream in it to feed the staff.
Oh, boy.
A whole pint of Häagen-Dazs.
Oh,
I have so many snacks and junk food in my pantry. But I have a lot of guests. And I don't eat it. I've never been one to eat it that much. But I know I stay out of there. I rarely even go in the kitchen. Is that correct? There's the two girls that help me. I never go to the grocery store. Now you say, well, I can't afford anybody to do that. Well, if you go, stay off the aisle that affects you. If it's pasta, don't go there.
Order online.
Pick it up outside. There's ways to get around it.
Right. Yes, there is. Yes, there is.
If you have problems with somebody at work tempting you, get another job. It's not worth your marriage. It's not worth your God. If you have a problem with gossip, get rid of your iPad. Get rid of your telephone. You think, well, that's serious. It's very serious. Which is more important to you? Like Keith said, if you love the Lord your God, you'll keep his commands. He said, don't gossip. Which is more important to you, that telephone, that iPad, or your God? I heard three people up here say God. Are we serious about this?
Yes.
Some people are, some people aren't. You have to decide which is more important to you, which you value the most, the things of God or the things of you. Right now, I'm going to say 80% of the people here will pick the things they like. Why? Because they're more flesh. See how quiet it got? Because they have been serving their flesh more than they've been serving God. You cannot watch sexual things on TV and not think about having affairs. You cannot watch cuss words on TV and not say them.
That's right.
Get rid of your TV. Put it on Disney. You hear all the murmuring? How serious are you about getting God's best? I have been so blessed. For my birthday, do you want to know what my husband gave me? Piles of gold. Woe is right. I was so surprised. I drive Bentleys. I live in nice houses. I give away $100 bills. I buy the best clothes. I live in the best. I hang around the most spiritual people in the world today. I'm not bragging. I'm telling you how to get there. You can have it. And if you don't care about money things, you should care about this. I had a heart attack and I went to the doctor on Thursday about the report. And this is what the doctor said. I wasn't believing God against a heart attack because I didn't even know I had one.
Right.
It's my God protecting me.
That's right.
Because I'm putting him first.
Right. Thank you, Lord. That's it.
He said, I know you're wondering why I sent you so crazily immediately to have that calf. I said, well, yeah. He said, because what I saw on that scan, on that stress test, said a massive heart attack. And I said, so what was it? He said, well, I checked the machine. I checked the person before you. I checked the person after you. It didn't show up on them. He said, I thought, well, it must be the machine. She doesn't act like she's had a heart attack. Must be the machine. I said, so what was it? He said, I don't know. I said, I know. I said, you know, I told you I didn't want to come in on that Friday. He said, yeah, I couldn't figure that out. I said, my God, who is bigger than all, healed me that night. You don't know it. A few people that are close to me know it. But I had begun, you may have heard me even up here doing announcements, having a little trouble breathing. I'd be short of breath. A few other little things. I didn't know what it was. And all of a sudden, God just healed me. Why? Because I'm his favorite? I like to say that all the time. I do. I say I'm his favorite. But the truth is, you can be his favorite.
That's right.
And he'll heal you. And he'll prosper you. And he'll set you on a predestined path toward blessing. And give you his very best. Do I look like I have MS? You go pull up any report from any doctor that I've ever been to, and it says MS just as plain as day. Shireen went to get me life insurance. Shireen, what did it say? MS. Do I look like I have MS to you? Why? Because I'm healed from here down to here.
Yes, ma'am.
Because I serve a God. Do I get up in the morning and think about healing? No. I thank my God that I'm healed. That he blesses our bread and water and takes sickness out of the midst of us, and the number of our days he will fulfill. But I don't sit around and think about gossiping.
No.
If I do say something about somebody, I'm quick to call them and apologize. Or repent immediately.
Right.
If I do something that bothers my heart, I'm quick to repent and fix it. I do my best to stay on God's side. How many of you could use some healing in here today? Be honest. How many of you could use some finances in here today?
Yes.
Yeah. How many of you in here could use some victory today? See, people don't want to raise their hand because they know. So what we're going to do is we're going to sing that last song about holy forever. Holy forever is not just words.
Right.
I want us to do two things as a group. I want us to first, if you feel like that you've been harassed by spirits all your life. It could be a month. It could be your whole life. You've been harassed by spirits that try to make you sick. You've been harassed by spirits that try to make you broke. You've been harassed by spirits that try to make you have affairs, that your parents had affairs. You've been harassed by lying spirits. You've been harassed by whatever. I want us to rebuke the devil and tell him to get out. Okay? Then I want us to, as a crowd, Dave, put Dave on the screen. I want us to, every person that means business with the Lord. Let's see, I had that verse in here. Luke 9:26 NIV. You can leave them up. I like seeing their beautiful faces. Better than mine. Luke 9:26. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory. How many of you want the Lord to stand up for you when you get to heaven and say, well done, good and faithful servant? I think every one of us do.
Right.
So we're going to stand up here. I'll lead you in it. And we're going to rebuke the spirit off of our lives. Any spirit that might be harassing you, if you don't think you've got one, then just say it for the people around you.
Right.
Harassing spirits.
Right.
Then we're going to unashamedly come up. And if you feel like you want to, I would think it would be almost every person in here. Rededicate our lives to putting God first in our lives. And that anything in our hearts that would ever, I don't know of a better word, scratch,
right,
that we're doing the wrong thing, that you feel a little bit of a scratch, that you correct it immediately.
Yes.
Immediately.
Yes.
Everybody has to go to the restroom. You get up, you go to say, excuse me just a minute, I need to go to the restroom.
Yeah.
You go in the restroom. How many of you take somebody with you to the restroom?
I do.
Very few people. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
You get in there. You kick the devil out again.
Yeah.
Just what we're about to do. And you get it right with the Lord again. Say, Lord, I'm sorry.
Lord, I'm sorry.
I want to be right with you. I repent and I'm turning back to you again.
Amen.
Help me to keep things right with you. And you keep filling your heart up with him again. All right?
Yes. All right.
Can we do this today?
Yes.
All right. Stand up with me. Play that softly in the background, please. Father, softer. Softer. I don't know if you can do it any softer, Jace. Good. All right, say this with me. Father God, we love you. And we want you first place in our lives. Satan! Get out of my life! Go! Leave me alone! Go far from me! Go to the desert places. Never to harass me again. Now stop him. Stop him. Stop him. Stop him. Stop him. Speak to him in your own way. Tell him. Go, 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 go. Go, 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 go. Go. You have to go out of these people's lives. Everyone that's watching online, you should be standing up and doing this with us. Everybody in Branson, you should be doing it with us. Now, everybody in here that means business with God, you come forward. You rededicate yourself to the Lord. You tell him you mean business just between you and the Lord. This is not something I can do for you. Everybody that means business, it doesn't have to be something big. The Lord said omission of spending time with him. Omission of doing what he tells you to do. Omission. Omission can be the same thing. You can kneel. You don't have to stand. You can just get before him like you would. Do whatever you would do and do before the Lord. Get before him. Get on your knees before him. It's not going to hurt you. If you can't get up, we got big strong men in here that'll help you get up. Thank you, Lord. Now you can turn that up for a minute so people can talk.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.